Welcome to Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You, the podcast that focuses on Christians that are active in everyday life. Join in as we speak to everyone from successful business owners to educators to athletes about their faith and how it helps them reach out and revolutionize those around them to do the same. And now get ready to roar with your host, the voice of manifestation, John Fuller.
Hey, Roar Nation, John Fuller here, and I am fired up. For you that don't know this, we are going to be doing our very first conference in Amarillo, Texas, Sunday, July 28th, from 1 p.m. to 10 p.m. Yes, I did say 1 to 10. It is going to be an enormous long day. So I want to give you the lineup. We're going to have Christy Austin. She's going to be speaking about kingdom transformation in the community. We have Bob Hassan, who also will be talking about people discovering how to honor can transform people's lives in their organizations. We're going to have Michael McIntyre from Dallas. He's helping people change mindsets and going to the next level in life. And then yours truly, I'm going to be releasing my very second book, and how to speak God's words over your life and see radical transformation. And then here's the best part. Our friend Sean Bowles is going to be coming in and wrapping up the entire conference. So that being said, I'm going to hand it over to yours truly. Sean, take it away, my friend.
I can't believe you said I'm the best part. Thank you so much. I'm going to be talking about hearing God's voice for your world around you, especially business leaders, entrepreneurs. We're going to talk about hearing God's voice for real, like we need to. Like, you have to be a prophet if you're going to go in the marketplace. You have to hear from God. And so we're going to talk about, and when I say prophet, I don't mean in the weird old charismatic Pentecostal way. I'm saying we have to be a friend of God to know what he wants. And he planned and pre-planned all these industries and all these things, and our whole city, our whole nation, way before we ever entered into it, way before we ever manifested. So how do we hear his original plan and bring alignment between what was in his original heart and what we see today? And so we're going to talk about discerning his heart, knowing his heart, hearing his heart. And it's going to be revolutionary. It's going to be great.
All right, Roar Nation. So check it out. Get on areyoureal.org. You can get on Eventbrite. It is the Kingdom Conference. Get your tickets. We're running some discounts. You get some of Sean's e-course. You get his book, my book. And anyways, it's going to be a phenomenal time. So please get on there now. Get tickets while you can, and have a blessed day. Hey, Roar Nation. John Fuller here, fired up today. If you just heard the commercial, you heard that we are doing our first ever conference in July 28th in Amarillo, Texas. We got some amazing speakers. It is limited seating. So as you heard the commercial, please jump on and get your tickets right away. And we're also doing discounts for people of 10 or more. So that being said, do not forget to get your ticket. All right. Today, I'm really excited. One of my favorite topics. I love talking about money and savings. Because it is very important, especially I believe in the kingdom of God, we are called to be good stewards. And so that being said, are you ready to do this, Fran McKay?
I am ready.
All right. So Roar Nation, check this out. Fran is a certified financial planner. She specializes in life-centered financial planning for women in the STEM fields. Hey, don't be confused, guys. You need to save money too. It said women. Don't get confused. And she's also now a certified financial planner. She's a chartered retirement planning counselor and an accredited asset management specialist. So that's a lot of words that I would like to unpack, Fran. Why don't you unpack that for us and tell us more about yourself?
Okay, so this is actually a second career for me. My first career, I have a master's in chemical engineering. I spent 22 years in chemical manufacturing. But I started working with my own advisor back in 1994. I fell in love with it. I also had a man in my Sunday school class that was a certified financial planner. And so I've known since 1994 that this would be a second career for me. And in 2014, I did make the switch, mostly because I loved my job in chemical manufacturing, but it's just a lot of hours. It was a lot of travel, and I just wasn't getting enough time with my family. So I made the switch, and I love it. My only regret is I should have just done it back in 1994.
How funny. Okay, Rook, why don't you tell us a little bit about chemical engineering, because I'm curious what that is or what that looks like.
Okay, so in the chemical engineering, we work in the chemical production facilities, and we make sure that the plant is running safely and that it's making product on spec. Okay. We are constantly looking for ways to improve, you know, the yield or the output of our production units. And if anything starts slowing it down or if anything starts making things off spec, then we go in there and figure out what that is and get it back on track.
I like it. Okay. So kind of it's interesting how that carries over. And the reason I asked you that is because obviously that carries over in the financial world, that you are making sure that I's are dotted, T's are crossed, and things are going the way they should. Correct?
Right. Right. Yeah. Both sides are problem solving. You know, we have a situation and we want to make it better.
Okay. So we love talking about purpose and kind of how you got into that. Before I do that, though, I want to ask you, has there been kind of like an inspirational quote or scripture for you along your journey?
You know, I know a lot of people talk about John 3:16, but the one that has always been special to me is John 3:17.
Okay.
And I'm sure everyone knows what it is, but, you know, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him, the world might be saved. And that's what I like. You know, Jesus didn't come here to judge us. He came here to love us and lead us. And I that means a lot to me. Well, to everyone, right?
Yes, absolutely. You know, as soon as you said that, the first thing I think of is it says he came to give us life and life abundantly. And I think a lot of times people miss that is the abundance of life in itself, whether friendships, family, career, whatever it is, it's to live in abundance. And I think people miss that.
I think so too. Yeah. It definitely has a lot to do with your paradigms and your mindset. You know, how you perceive the world and how you conduct yourself in the world, which then of course is going to lead to the results that you get.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. So, okay, so let's talk about your journey a little bit. And where I want to back up is going into how you got into financial planning, because I think a lot of times people don't realize maybe they're miserable in what they do, or they kind of feel that internal, I'm going to be making a shift at some point. But there's wisdom in making the shift. And I forgot about this. I meant to respond. We got an email the other day, and I'll just kind of lead into this question is, this lady had talked about, she left her job and she got into, to pursue her passion. But it's not necessarily going like taking off. Like I think maybe she hoped. And I've had a lot of people over the years come to me and say, hey, I'm thinking about jumping ship. And the first thing I tell people is, man, do not, like, you need a side hustle. And what I mean by that is work full time, build a business or whatever you're doing, start saving until it's so stretching that you can't do both, and then make the jump. Because I've personally done that myself before, where you make the jump and then you have this, I call it an oh crap moment, where you're financially strapped and you make, you're starting to make, you think you want to go back to what you originally did because you're hurting for money. So I want to talk about your journey, because I don't think you did that.
No, you are exactly right, though. Whenever you start something new, you should anticipate it's going to take at least 4 to 5 years for you to get to where you're imagining is just going to be, you know, decent, not outstanding, but decent. Right.
Yeah.
So you got to plan on that 4 to 5 year. And what are you going to do in the meantime? How are you going to take care of your family? And so starting it out as a side hustle is absolutely, absolutely the way to go. Some fields don't allow you to do this. And actually the field that I'm in now, when I moved over, I didn't have that luxury of being able to do both. Sure. I actually worked for a firm. I have my own practice now, but originally I worked for a firm and they wouldn't let me have a second job. That just wasn't kosher. So in that case, you know, my husband and I had to save up a lot of money before I jumped ship. So we had a lot of cash and we went through that cash. We actually did go through it, even though it was a lot of money.
Wow. So talk about that a little bit as far as like, I was interested, you said 4 or 5 years. Is that the norm that you've kind of seen with people or working with people, that it takes it to kind of start to grow legs and to get it, to get their things, their business going?
I know it is for this industry, especially for people who are going to have their own practice. Okay. You know, you either need to have savings or a spouse that can cover, you know, their income can cover the household expenses, because it's going to take 4 or 5 years before you're actually making, you know, a decent salary.
Yeah. Wow, that's a long time. There's no side hustle in that one, man. You're either all in or you're not. Okay, well, talk about that journey as far as going into, you talked a little bit about your financial planning as far as with the Bible study and kind of that process. So why don't you talk about that in the pursuit of your passion?
So I always knew it was going to be a second career. I went and worked for another company for several years. And then last year I started my own practice, like I said. And the main reason why I started my own practice was because when you work for someone else, you have to follow their protocol. And, you know, they've got 20,000 financial advisors. They need them all to be the same because that's the easiest way to handle compliance. Right. And I wanted to be able to launch my own podcast. You know, I wanted to have my own website. And so that's the main reason why I made that switch. And definitely it's something I'm enjoying. And fortunately, my family's been standing behind me. That's the other thing that's so important. Yeah. When you decide to go independent, you've got to have a supporting spouse and children.
So I'm curious, when you go independent, are you able to take your past customers? Is that like a client list that you have when you go, or do you literally start over again from scratch?
You have to start over from scratch. You cannot solicit your old clients. They can come to you, though. They can say, hey, I want to go where you go. And that's what happened with me, is a lot of my clients did just move with me.
Okay.
But I cannot solicit them. I can't go recruit them.
I bet that was a breath of relief.
That they came with me? Oh, definitely, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because I would have been starting with a negative instead of... That would have been even harder.
Absolutely. So... why don't you talk a little bit about the journey, though, of stepping into that, getting out of chemical engineering and going into that? Because that's a big, kind of like your internal, your thought, your process of doing it, because I want people to hear that and feel that, because a lot of times people want to make that switch, or they're considering it and they're fearful or whatever. And I kind of want to hear your story about making that transition.
So that was a very, sometimes I think God leads us into a point where you feel like you don't have any choices, because maybe then you'll actually choose what he wants you to choose.
Yeah, absolutely. So
I have 6 children, and at that time, only 3 were still left at home when I made the switch. And it got to the point where I was working literally 70 to 80 hours a week, every single week.
Wow.
And I was traveling probably a week and a half of every month. And it was just ridiculous. I mean, I was making no contribution at all at home because I was just gone all the time.
Right.
And I was miserable. My family wasn't happy. And I always said I wanted to be a financial advisor. And I felt like if I'm ever going to do it, because at that point I was hitting my late 40s. And I felt like, you know, if I'm going to change a career like that, I've got to do it before I get much older. And so it was very scary. It was definitely very scary. We had over 6 figures sitting in the bank to cover us for a while to help with that transition. But it was tough. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, the kids had to start. We had to start making choices in terms of, you know, the activities that we do. There weren't any vacations those first few years. You know, there was a little bit more careful thought went into buying clothes and stuff for school. So the kids were a little bit upset about that. They weren't used to having boundaries on them. Well, they have boundaries, of course, but not quite that tight.
Yeah, no, I get it. Absolutely. Okay. Here's a question I have to ask, cause I'm just curious, is a mom. And I know, like, my wife's desire is obviously to stay home, and she works a lot too. And there's this really fine balance. And for men also, to be a father and then to work, how did you balance that? Because you had mentioned you're working 70 hours a week. So internally, what was, we have a large women audience, and I think you're going to speak to women there, is that kind of internal struggle that you're dealing with, and maybe how you overcame that, or how you felt like the Lord was working through that? Because I think that's hard for a lot of people.
You know, when I took this job, so it was a new job that I went into, and I had no idea it was going to be that many hours. And I kept thinking, oh, we're just going to get through this patch of time, and then we'll start working normal hours. And I kept telling myself that. And after a while, you realize that, no, it's never going to happen. You're just going to keep working these awful hours. But after about 6 months of it, because, you know, the reality is that women still carry the bulk of the things at home.
Right. Absolutely.
And I could not, I just couldn't do it. I mean, I was just exhausted. And then I would be getting up literally on Saturday mornings. I'd get up at 4 or 5 in the morning, go to the 24-hour Walmart to do my grocery shopping.
Wow.
And then I would work, and it was actually kind of nice that the kids, you know, slept in till 10 or 11 in the morning, because that gave me time to really focus and try to get some more work done. But my husband ended up quitting his job just because I couldn't do it anymore. And since I made quite a bit more than he made, we decided that he would just quit working so that he could stay home and take care of the kids. But it still doesn't fill me as a woman, like you said,
right.
Which is why after doing it for 1.5 years, I was like, no, I can't do it. So
how did you cope with that? Like, was that something you felt like the Lord just kind of brought you through, or like you felt, I'm just curious, because I've gone through, as a husband, I've gone through that at times where I've had to work a lot. And I think most people do. And just, it was, but I think I finally came to the conclusion, this is just a season. And I had to look at it as a transition in a season. And then once I was done with that, I knew mentally, like, hey, we can get back to rational, reasonable hours. I mean, is that kind of how you worked through it, or it just got better?
It never got better. And that's what I kept thinking, though. I kept thinking, well, you know, we're just going through this period and it's going to get better, but it never did, never did, never did. And that's the reason why I finally just said, you know what, I'm just going to change careers. Because the higher you go up in manufacturing,
yeah,
you get paid really well, but they own you. I mean, it is very much a life. You travel internationally, nationally. The higher up you go, just the more you work. So I just felt like, it's never going to get better. I need to just go ahead and make that switch. It's something I've always wanted to do. I just need to go ahead and do it.
Yeah. That's interesting. So it kind of goes back to what you said, how God puts you in that position where you almost just have to quit. It's that choice. Do I want to neglect my family, make a lot of money, never see them, but travel a ton and climb the corporate ladder? Or do I jump ship and enjoy life the way I want to enjoy it?
Yeah, I think that there were several times during my career that I thought about making the change, especially like after I would have children and stuff, when I'm home on maternity leave, I think, you know what, maybe I should make that switch now. And I never did. And I never did. And so I think God just had to, you know, pinpoint me and put me in that corner. So I had no choice. Now's the time.
Let me ask you this. Do you regret that? If you go back, would you have stayed? Would you have switched earlier?
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. I had just finished when I made that decision that that's going to be my second career. I had just finished up my master's in chemical engineering, and I worked so hard at that. I just could not see making the change at that point.
Right.
But in hindsight, yeah, I definitely should have just done it then.
Okay. So I like to go into what I call digging deep. And I'm just curious. And when I say digging deep, it's the moment that I call it couldn't be worse than this. And then God shows up and just does something amazing because I love God's stories. That being said, is like during maybe this transition or while you were launching your career, did you kind of have one of those moments where you're just thinking, this isn't working out or this is terrible, God, you have to show up? And then you kind of just lay it at his feet and something took off for you.
I think over and over again.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I was surprised that the company that I worked with as a client in 1994, that was the company I was like, that's right. That was the first company I applied with as, you know, for a job. Mm-hmm. And I actually got it with them.
Wow.
You know, and this is who for 20 years I was thinking about working with. And so I think that was God's way of showing up and saying, yep, this was the right thing, even if it's 20 years late.
Yeah.
And, but you know, the other thing in manufacturing, all I did is I had my work and I had my children. You know what I mean? So I would went to work and then I would come home. I'd run kids around to their different prospective sports and activities. And I if you asked me about some TV show, I had no idea what was on television. And I didn't have friends, you know. I mean, you had parents that you would see at the different soccer games and baseball games and all that kind of stuff. And so there were those acquaintances, but I didn't have time for friends. It was just working kids. When I switched careers, you know, being a financial advisor, that in itself promotes getting to know people and getting out there, meeting people and socializing. And, you know, now I get to do some of those things that I've always wanted to do. I've got friends, I got girlfriends, and that is so cool. I haven't had girlfriends since, you know, since high school or college. So, yeah, I think God has shown up in so many ways, and that this is definitely, you know, the right career for me.
Yeah, well, praise God. Okay, so I want to kind of dive into some of the stuff that you do. We can pick anything. I'm going to name off a couple of things that you know, you talk about life-centered financial planning, how you help women, any of those things. We can just, you hit a topic, and I'm going to leave it to you. It's kind of like what you want to dive into, and we'll just start with one.
Talking about the women in STEM, so I recently had she's in her 40s, and she's getting close. She'd like to retire at 47. She's in her early 40s right now, and she wants to retire pretty early. You know, at 47 is going to be pretty early. And so just working with her, looking at where she's at, she's done a fabulous job, but she just wanted to make sure that she was on track and that it's realistic to retire at 47, even if you'd live to 95, you know, because that's a long time to live financially independent. But she does a really good job controlling her finances and just looking at where her different investments are and the different type of accounts that she's using, you know, so your retirement accounts, your traditional retirement accounts that you can't touch until you're 59 and a half, plus the accounts that you can touch before then, you know, so that's something that I do is work with people to, regardless of what their age is, just make sure they're on track, or if they're not on track, to retire whenever they're trying to, you know, putting a game plan in together to, make sure that they do get there.
Okay. I got a question for you, and I'm curious as I'm just taking notes as you talk. So how do we know if we are financially on track or not?
So there are some rule of thumbs. So if you're going to do this on your own, there are some rule of thumbs that you can do. One of them is if you want to live conservatively, they say that you should not take out more than 3% of your savings each year. So if you want to figure that out for yourself, you know, say, okay, well, if I want to live on $50,000 a year and that's 3% of my savings, how much do I need to have? That's not really how I would do it, but that's, you know, for people who are trying to do it themselves, that's one way they can do it.
Okay. What do you recommend? Going to you, getting some help, right?
Right, definitely. So we have financial planning software that we use, and it's also looking at the different types of accounts you have. So if you're in a traditional 401k or a traditional IRA, those are tax deferred. And whenever you retire and you start making withdrawals, you're actually going to pay taxes on everything that comes out. Cool. If you're in a Roth 401k, Roth IRA, it's going to come out tax free. And then you have just taxable savings. So if you've got a joint account at the bank or a joint account that you've got invested, you know, on that, when the money comes out, you're just going to be paying capital gains tax and not income tax. So what we're looking at is all those different accounts, and we're optimizing on a year-to-year basis, which one do you want to pull from? But we're also optimizing it in terms of what investments you're actually in. So are you in the stock market, or do you have bonds? Do you have CDs? And, you know, making sure that you have a diversified portfolio of investments in all of these different types of accounts, so that no matter what the stock market is doing, you're not going to be selling low is our objective. That's what we're trying to shoot for. And so that's what we're doing on an annual basis for our folks who are in retirement is, you know, which accounts, how much, and which investments do we want to pull from for this year's income. And then working with the ones who haven't retired yet to get that set up so that they can optimize their retirement no matter what the tax rates are and no matter what the market is doing.
Okay. So I'm just curious, do you do much with people with real estate?
I do not do, I have clients that have, I have lots of clients that have rental income.
Okay.
And so that's part of our, you know, retirement income that we're looking at. But I don't like make recommendations or help them with their real estate portfolio.
Gotcha. Okay. I was just curious because I'm asking, cause that's all I have right now is lots and lots of rental properties and stuff. That's kind of where we're building assets right now is in rentals. So,
Yeah, rental income, I mean, that's a great way to hedge against inflation. So, and it's a good way to diversify your portfolio. Like anything else, though, I don't like to see my clients have everything and all their eggs in one basket. You know what I mean?
Right.
We want a diversified portfolio.
Just curious, we're talking baskets, hypothetical, but how many baskets do you typically recommend to your clients, or how much do you try to diversify?
So I do like that rental income. For some people that are risk averse, maybe it's not the right thing, because there is some amount of risk that I'm sure you know that comes with rental property.
Right.
But then, of course, there's also the stock market. There's the bond market. And then what we call the cash equivalent. So this would be like short-term CDs, money markets, and then, of course, right out, you know, checking and savings accounts, right? So I like to see them diversified across all of those. And then even within them, so like within the bond market, there's ways to diversify. And then, of course, within the stock market, there's ways to diversify.
Okay. Let's talk about tithing a little bit. I love this. I think that's hard for a lot of people. It was for me when I was younger, until I really realized that scripturally God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And he is abundant. And I think a lot of times, and I'm speaking maybe for myself, not for everybody, but I think people have the mindset that if I give, I don't get back. Like they don't understand the concept of tithing, of how God is constantly giving. I mean, it's all his, and we're really giving him back 10 and getting to keep 90. But how have you seen that for yourself and some of your clients as far as tithing?
So, and you're right, the Bible does talk about tithing all the way from Genesis to Revelations. You'll see it all throughout the Bible and how important it is. And it's the only place, to my knowledge, it's the only subject in the Bible where God says, test me.
Yeah.
So I think that's really neat. But, you know, I think this is where you have to believe that, and it does need to be done with the right spirit, right? It's kind of like when you give a gift to a person, if in your heart you're like, well, I'm going to give them this nice gift, and I hope they give me a nice gift back.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a heart issue.
Right. It needs to be done with a generous, or in this case for God, right? It needs to be done with a grateful heart. You know, thank you so much for all that you've given me. And with confidence and faith, you're going to be fine. You're going to give him the 10% that tithe, and you're going to be fine. You're going to have your needs met.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. All right. So let's go into strengths, and let's talk about, before we go into strengths real quick, let's take a moment for our sponsor.
Hey, Roar Nation, John Fuller here. And I am fired up. For you that don't know this, we are going to be doing our very first conference in Amarillo, Texas, Sunday, July 28th, from 1 p.m. to 10 p.m. Yes, I did say 1 to 10. It is going to be an enormous long day. So I want to give you the lineup. We're going to have Christy Austin. She's going to be speaking about kingdom transformation in the community. We have Bob Hassan, who also will be talking about people discovering how to honor can transform people's lives in their organizations. We're going to have Michael McIntyre from Dallas. He's helping people change mindsets and going to the next level in life. And then yours truly, I'm going to be releasing my very second book, and how to speak God's words over your life and see radical transformation. And then here's the best part. Our friend Sean Bowles is going to be coming in and wrapping up the entire conference. So that being said, I'm going to hand it over to yours truly. Sean, take it away, my friend.
I can't believe you said I'm the best part. Thank you so much. I'm going to be talking about hearing God's voice for your world around you, especially business leaders, entrepreneurs. We're going to talk about hearing God's voice for real, like we need to. Like, you have to be a prophet if you're going to go in the marketplace. You have to hear from God. And so we're going to talk about, and when I say prophet, I don't mean in the weird old charismatic Pentecostal way. I'm saying we have to be a friend of God to know what he wants. And he planned and pre-planned all these industries and all these things, and our whole city, our whole nation, way before we ever entered into it, way before we ever manifested. So how do we hear his original plan and bring alignment between what was in his original heart and what we see today? And so we're gonna talk about discerning his heart, knowing his heart, hearing his heart. And it's going to be revolutionary. It's going to be great.
All right, Roar Nation. So check it out. Get on reureal.org. You can get on Eventbrite. It is the Kingdom Conference. Get your tickets. We're running some discounts. You get some of Sean's e-course. You get his book, my book. And anyways, it's going to be a phenomenal time. So please get on there now, get tickets while you can, and have a blessed day.
Okay, so back to strengths. And let's talk about, what do you feel like your biggest strength is?
I think it's listening to people and really caring about them. And then educating them, bringing them peace and comfort. You know, money has so much anxiety.
Yes, a lot of emotions.
A lot of emotions. A lot of people just want to avoid the topic. They don't even want to deal with it. You know, you just deal with it. A lot of people get very anxious when the markets go up and down. Some people, I think almost half the population just wants to avoid it, though. I mean, they just don't even want to talk about it. But the reality is, if you're going to be a good financial steward for God, for yourself, and for your family, you know, you need to take it on. You need to talk about it, and you need to come up with a plan, and you need to have a backup and a contingency plan. You know, that's what life insurance, disability insurance, and those kinds of things are for, because stuff happens. But to just put your head in the sand and say, I'm just not going to deal with it, is not a good option.
Yeah. What do you, in your opinion, what is a good financial, from a Christian perspective, what do you feel like a good financial steward looks like?
So a good financial steward is, has a very, very grateful heart. Very grateful to God for all the blessings that he's given us. They do tithe. They have a plan in place so that they are, taking care of their family. I believe, you know, in the Bible, it talks about taking care of your family, and that's not just your immediate family, but your extended family. Yep. It also talks about being generous. So being able to help the widowed, the poor, the sick. These are things that, you know, in the Bible, we're all called to do. And the only way we can do that is by, you know, doing a good job at work. So your income's half the equation, right?
Yeah.
So you've got to do a really good job at work, grow and protect your income, and of course, you know, create margin in your life. So live below your income, live on a lot less than what you make, so that you can tithe, so that you can put away for a rainy day, so that you can purchase the insurances that you need, and still give your family a comfortable lifestyle.
When you mentioned living below our income, and I think a lot of times we hear that, but we don't necessarily, some people don't understand what that means. From a financial perspective, for you, what is living below our means look like for most people? Like, what's that rule of thumb?
I don't know if there is a rule of thumb, but it's going to sound drastic, but yeah. Really, if you think about how much money goes to taxes, insurance, and then tithing and long-term savings, you're talking about 50% basically of your gross income are you going to have for your lifestyle once you take care of your responsibilities first.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's just, it's an idea. I'm not saying that it's definitely 50% for every person. I'm just saying that that's a ballpark for it if you really think about where all your money needs to go.
So I'm thinking about this. If I make $60,000 a year, if I'm listening to this podcast right now and I'm thinking I only make $60,000 a year, I have three kids. Are you saying like I need to figure out how to live off of 30, or like how does that look? It's obviously it's so different for everybody, but man, when you start, and as you know, you have six kids, I have three, but like just the equation, just the amount of money that you can spend on kids is like astronomical amount. It blows me away. And when going to college right now, but like, how do you balance that? Because for some people, if I'm thinking, if I only make 60, you know, it's easy. If I made $200,000 a year, obviously I have a big tax liability, but I'm still thinking, well, that's no big deal. I could live off 75 to 100 a year. That's nothing. But what if I'm only making 60, 75,000 a year?
You're right. It's going to be so much harder, you know, when you're making 60, 70,000 or less. A lot of, you know, the average income, I think, is household income is in the 40s.
Yeah.
You know? And when you think about, you know, if they have one, two or three children, that's really tough. So it's going to be, the answer is going to be different for each person. They will have less taxes, right? So that's yes. That's a good thing. But it is going to be a lot harder for people who are at lower income levels.
Okay.
And that you're going to have to look at it on a case-by-case basis to see what your options are.
Okay. All right. So we talked about your biggest strengths. What do you feel like your biggest weakness is?
Wanting to do it all.
Yeah. The entrepreneur's life.
Yeah. So just looking at my career and being an entrepreneur, there's so many things that I want to do there. But, you know, I also want to spend and be around my children. And now I've got 3 grandchildren. And it's so hard, to keep everything in balance.
Yes, absolutely. I totally get it. And I think it's learning. We're slowly developing over here on the Are You Real podcast. My wife and I, we call it the Fuller Five. And it's balancing faith, family, fitness, fun, and finances. And trying to literally map those out and write those things down and say, okay, I'm going to focus in these areas, because it's really easy to say focus just on finances or focus just on fun. But there has to be this balance, because I've noticed for myself, if I don't, I can burn out really fast or really easy in one area, because, you know, I'm all work and no play. And all of a sudden I wake up 2 weeks later and I'm miserable and I'm tired because I've been working nonstop and I haven't taken any time for fun. So
you should make a pie chart of that, of your 5. That's what I recommend people do with their finances, is make a pie chart.
Yeah.
And it shows, you know, how much is going to taxes, show your tithing and your gifting, show your debt, how much of your take home pay or your gross income is going to debt, how much is going to, lifestyle, and, did I get all 5? Let's see.
We got debt, lifestyle, tax,
long-term savings. Yeah. So taxes, debt, gifting, long-term savings, and lifestyle.
Okay.
And keep track of that pie chart. And this is also a great way, because it's based on a percentage. It's based on a pie chart. This is a great way to share it also with when you're witnessing to someone about money, or your children, when you're talking to your children about money.
Yeah.
You know, having that pie chart and showing it to them, how you've evolved over the years is really neat.
Absolutely. For the listeners out there, for fun, if you don't have one, but there's pie charts you can get on like Google Slides or even in Excel, and you can just type in the number and the amount and it'll adjust the pie chart for you. So if anybody wants to kind of see that, it's fun. I've done that for our business before. So, okay. So Fran, what is the biggest thing right now that God's stirring inside of you that you're excited about?
So what I'm excited about, I'm putting together a faith-based financial life planning website. And it's going to be a website that has courses on it to help Christians with their financial life. So it's going to cover everything that everybody needs to cover anyways, but it's going to be from a Christian perspective. So, you know, leaning on the wisdom that we get from scripture in the Bible about how to be a good financial steward for God. And that I'm so excited about.
Yeah, absolutely.
My first course is going to be called Purpose, Peace, and Prosperity. And in this course, it's a guide for Christians to put together their own financial life plan. And so we start out at the beginning of it just talking about, you know, as Christians, we are children of God. And what are the promises that God has made to us as his children, and how to claim those promises. We also talk about what the Bible says about being a good, faithful financial steward. And then it goes into planning for what we want, right? So we want retirement. We want to be able to help our children with their higher education, whether it be college or, you know, welding school or whatever. And so planning for what we want to happen in our life financially, but then also having those contingencies in place in case things don't work out the way we would like. So having life insurance, having disability insurance, how do you go about selecting what's the right health insurance for you, how to select the right auto insurance, things like that, homeowners insurance, renter's insurance. So it covers all of the basics that you would want to cover in a financial plan, but from a Christian perspective.
That's really exciting. When can we look forward to seeing this launch?
So the website's already been out there and people can pre-register, but that first course is going to be launching June 5th.
Okay, that's right around the corner.
Right around the corner, about 21 days. And it's going to be a membership website. So once you sign up to be a member of that website, that gives you access to all the courses that are in there for 12 months. I'm offering a discount right now for what I'm calling founding members, because of course the only course I'm going to have initially is the Purpose, Peace, and Prosperity. But right after that, this summer, I'm also going to be adding tax efficient retirement planning and strategic philanthropy. Both of those will get added this summer too. So it's a great time to get in there and get started on creating your own faith-based financial plan.
That's exciting. Do you already have a price for that? Is what you're going to be charging for the, you said it's only for 12 months?
It's for 12 months of access. And so it's a membership site. So if you want to continue getting access and continue, I'll be adding a course every couple of months. There'll be a new course that comes online. So if you want to continue to have access to it after that 12 months, then you can renew your annual membership.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So normally it costs anywhere from $3,000 to $6,000 to go see a financial planner and have them create a financial plan for you.
Right.
Which is not cheap. For the founding members only, so if they get signed up May, June timeframe, it will only be $100 for 12 months of access. So it is an absolute steal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm also going to be offering this not only to individuals, but also to churches and also to Christian employers. So if they want to offer this as a financial wellness site for their congregation or their employees, definitely do it, you know, in May or June when it's at the best price.
Yes, that's exciting. Okay. All right. So you got a lot going on. You're a busy woman. You got your mom, grandma, you got a business, everything going on. Okay. So that being said, what do you do, whether daily or weekly? How do you balance that with your walk with the Lord, spending time with Him, and allowing that to impact people around you in your business?
So, you know, one of the things that it says over and over in the Bible is to pray in Jesus's name. And I do that. And I put so much faith in praying in Jesus's name. When I'm praying for other people, which I do a lot, you know, whether it be in my business or just friends or acquaintances, or when you hear something on the news or something, and you just know that God's going to step in there and do what needs to be done.
Yeah.
You know? So that is something that I do that is very important to me.
Yeah. Come on, Jesus. There's power and authority in that name.
Yes.
So, okay. Do you have a resource or maybe a book that you've read recently that you would like to share with our audience that's impacted you?
I have not read it yet, but I did buy it. It's called Do Less with Kate Northrup. And it's actually for busy moms. It talks about how to be more efficient and effective with what we do. And she has got a bunch of different exercises in there to help you figure out, you know, how can you really focus on what really needs to get done? So I'm really excited about that book. One of her exercises is, you know, we've all heard of the 80-20 rule, right? So 80% of our results come from 20% of our effort. If we can just get that right 20%. And so one of the exercises in her book is she says, list out, you know, some things that you've accomplished over the last 2 months, and that's in the left column. All right. So just some things that, and you can pick 2 months, 2 weeks, 2 weeks, whatever time frame works for you. In the right column, write down what did you do to get that result. And then draw some lines from the right column to the left column, and it helps you identify, you know, what are the 20% of activities that make the biggest difference in your life. And that's just one example. She has several exercises in there that you can do to try to be more efficient with your time. So I haven't read the book yet. I heard about it on a podcast. I bought it, and I'm real excited about it.
Yeah. I do a lot of Audible stuff. It's funny. I'll buy the book, and then I listen to it because I have a lot of drive time. So I listen to it, and then I'll drive. I just got done with, oh my gosh, I can't. Anyways, it was a financial book for business. I just lost it. But I listened to it as I was at the track running or working out and then or driving. And then I would read it at night. So it was kind of like getting it twice. Because you, if you're not teaching it, you, they say typically you lose like 70%, 80% of what you read if you don't reteach it right away.
I love listening to Audible books, but you're right. Sometimes I'll listen to them. I was like, wow, that was such a great book, and then I'll buy it.
Yeah.
So that I can actually go in there and highlight the different yep. things that really touched me.
Absolutely. Okay. So, Fran, if you could go back to a younger you, what age would you pick and what advice would you give yourself knowing that you can't change anything in your future, but you're going to give yourself a pep talk?
Oh, but I couldn't change my future.
No, can't change it. So it's definitely, you're still going to go be, and this is why I asked this question and I say that is because you right now are the sum of all your past events and the things you've gone through. And a lot of times we want to change those things, but I think God, I guess allows, I want to be really careful with how I say that because some people have been through traumatic circumstances, but he makes things beautiful. He turns ashes into beauty. And a lot of times we go through circumstances, but they turn us into this beautiful person inside out, but it's a process. And so that question I mean by is what advice would you give yourself? Knowing all the things you're going to have to go through, you're just going to give yourself advice because if you changed the course, you wouldn't be the person you were today if we go back and change things.
I would say I'd want to go back to probably 18.
Okay.
And I was so career driven. Most of my life, I've been very, very career driven. And many times I can think where I put my career over relationships. And so that would be the advice I'd give to my 18-year-old self, that relationships come first. And the Bible even tells us that too, right? So seek God with all your heart. And then, you know, when Jesus came back and he was resurrected, you know, he said the second is, you know, love others as I have loved you. So it's all about relationships. That's it. It's relationships. And I think it's taken me 50 years to figure that out.
Yeah. It's hard. You know, you say that, and I've heard people say this before is they say, you know, when you're on your deathbed, you've never heard somebody say, I wish I would have made more money, or I wish I would have saved more and done these things. It's always, it comes down to family, friends, and relationships and the value that you've built with people over a lifetime.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah. But it's hard when you're driven, and I get it. I mean, that's something for me personally, because I'm a very driven person naturally, that I have to take time and step back and say, okay, I'm going to, I have to be purposeful in that area. Just like I think some people have to be purposeful in financial planning, and you have to set that aside. You have to think about it. Sometimes you have to set aside and say, okay, I'm going to be purposeful in my relationships and take time for those because they mean something. So, okay, so Fran, you gave yourself advice. What piece of parting advice would you give our audience as we wrap up the show?
So there's a lot of different common money personalities. And like I mentioned before, so many of them are wanting to avoid the whole topic of money.
Okay.
And, you know, I can just encourage people to please don't avoid that topic. Go ahead and get serious about taking control of your financial life. Because only by taking control of it are you going to be able to be a good financial steward for God, for yourself, and for your family.
Amen. I love that. Okay. So we need to step out and we need to talk about money and we need to get a hold of you to get help. So that being said, how do we do it?
So my website that has got my online courses is faithbasedfinancialwellness.com. And you can go there, you can look at the courses, see if you'd like to sign up and be a member on the website so you have access to the courses. Or my contact information is also at the bottom of the website is my contact information. So if you would like one-on-one consulting, I'd be happy to do that.
All right. Well, that is exciting. And we'll definitely have that in the show notes for our listeners to check that out, get a hold of you and things like that. So, Fran, I just want to tell you, thank you so much for coming on our show. And thank you for sharing your stories and your personal journey as far as making that transition and just things that you're doing in life.
Thank you, John. I enjoyed it. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Hold on just a second. Roar Nation, thank you guys for tuning in and gals. And when I say that, I live in Texas, so that refers to everybody when I say that, so make no mistake. But guys, please jump on there and check out. Financial planning is so important. I wish I would have done it, honestly, when I was a little younger, but I was broke and had three kids. So it wasn't on the top of my mind, but now it is, and definitely starting to steer my ship in that direction. So please check out the course and the things that Fran is doing. I believe it's going to help you. And also, please get on iTunes, rate and review us. It means a lot to me. I love reading your feedback, and it's inspiring for me every week to sit there and read those. It just encourages me, and also helps us climb the charts as well. So love you guys. Thank you so much. And remember, be real, be authentic, and be you. God bless.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to rureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.